Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our all English lecture for today. And today we've got a story about, well, a couple of things in our news unit here. We've got a story about silverware, basically, or cutlery,the stuff you use to eat with,especially if it's disposable and only for one use. And that, of course, creates lots of garbage. I guess this person in Sweden is trying to do something about that. And also, we've got a story about South African students using coding to give themselves a better future.
Right.The South Africans were kind of lagging behind in terms of, you know, technology. And so they've really tried to focus on bringing them up to speed in math and science. And there's some organizations over there that are helping kids learn how to code, which is really a good track if you're looking for a career right now. Everything's computers and computerization. And, yeah, so I think it's a great thing that they'll have a chance to go to these clubs and learn how to code that way with other students. So that's super duper because we all need to have a career. As you get older, you have to start making money and paying bills and stuff like that.
And at some point, you have to realize that you're not going to be a famous actor or a big famous rock star. You're going to have to get a regular job like the rest of us.
Maybe.
So you might as well study computer coding or maybe try to find a substitute for disposable cutlery, as this guy in Sweden apparently has done. So let's find out what this is all about, everybody. Let's listen to the entire contents of our lesson now, one time. Potato cutlery, cutting out single-use plastics. A student from Sweden's Lund University has created an alternative to single-use plastic products by using potato starch. Industrial design student Pontus Tornqvist sought to target the fast food industry, which is a large consumer of plastic cutlery due to the material's convenience and strength. These plastics are only used once,but then take centuries to break down. With millions of them going to landfills and the ocean every day, their effect is devastating to the environment. Tornqvist decided to look at the various forms that plant-based plastics could take and settled on using potato starch. When mixed with water and poured into a mold, the starch dries to a plastic-like consistency. After use,it can be thrown away and will decompose in soil within 2 months, sending nutrients back to the earth. The unique properties of starch mean that this type of cutlery doesn't have to be made from potatoes alone. Any starchy material could work. Though potato plastic began as a student project, Tornqvist hopes to see it through and begin professional production soon.
South African students code their way to a better future. Technology's influence on our lives means that having knowledge of it is necessary for a secure future. This is the idea behind South Africa's coding clubs. Though apartheid ended in the country 25 years ago, the quality of education in some regions has not yet caught up. Currently,South Africa lags behind other countries in math and science. Non-governmental organizations like CodeJika and We Think Code aim to close the gap by offering free coding clubs for elementary school students. In these clubs, students use coding blocks, circuit boards, and other tools in order to solve real-life problems. Student teams have come up with devices like incubators,for premature babies, as well as tracking accessories to help find missing children. Teachers hope these clubs can help students feel empowered and that the skills they gain can help them find employment in the future. The popularity of these clubs is also growing in other African countries, such as Kenya and Botswana. Thanks to the unique opportunities these clubs provide, the next generation of technological innovatorsmay be coming out of Africa.
Okay, everybody, it's our News Watch unit for today, and it's also our All English lecture. So the first article we're talking about in today's lesson is about cutlery. More specifically, we're talking about potato cutlery, cutting out single-use plastics. So when I first started reading this article, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, it's about knives and forks that are used to cut potatoes. But actually, no, that's not the case. It's cutlery that actually is made out of potatoes. My goodness, how could you do that? If you tried to cut something with a French fry or something like that, it certainly wouldn't work, but I'm sure there's more to it than that. And the reason we have this cutlery made from potatoes, or more specifically from potato starch, mm-hmm. is because we want to cut out or eliminate single-use plastics. Of course, those are quite common, especially at fast food restaurants. Mm-hmm. Plastic spoons, plastic forks, plastic knives, etc., even plastic chopsticks. Although chopsticks here tend to be made out of, is it bamboo or something
bamboo,
like that?
I think so. Or wood.
Yeah, so that would require some different kind of technology. But in this particular case, I guess we're talking about more Western style cutlery, as I said, knives, forks, and spoons. So here in Sweden, we've got a student from Sweden's Lund University, and he has created an alternative to single-use plastic products by using potato starch. Okay, first of all, let's talk about this word alternative, which just simply means another choice.
Before we move on, I wanted to mention, too, this word cutlery can be substituted quite frequently for silverware. Silverware, it makes you kind of think you're actually eating with a knife, fork, spoon, a serving spoon that's actually made of silver. But not necessarily. A long time ago, yeah, the kings and queens, they actually had silverware that was made out of precious metals. But, you know, nowadays we usually have some sort of metal that's not very valuable. I give a lot of silverware as wedding gifts sometimes when I am asked to provide a wedding gift, or, you know, I have someone in my family or a friend who's getting married. They need all of those things to set up their house. So cutlery, as Tom said, is nice. Fork, spoons. Also, anything you use to serve food is also part of your cutlery. Don't say cutleries, guys. All you need is cutlery. It just includes everything.
And it's like equipment.
Yeah, you know. It's like information. You don't put an S on it. Also, don't put an S on silverwares. No, it's just silverware.
Because there are different kinds, knives or sporks, I guess. That is such a thing.
There are. Yeah, there are those weird-looking pieces of silverware that combine the spoon with the fork. I'm not a big fan of those, I must say. I think KFC in America uses those quite frequently. But we're talking about a really cool way to come up with cutlery that doesn't hurt the environment in this particular article. And if you haven't read about this, I encourage you to look this guy up. He's really interesting. He's only 24 when he won this big award. His name is Pontus Tornqvist, which is kind of hard to say even for us. He's Swedish. But he came up with an alternative to the cutlery that we're usually using at these fast food restaurants, which are just used once and thrown out. It's plastic, which hurts the environment, of course. They're made by using potato starch. And if you know anything about potatoes, you know they're full of starch and carbs. And they're not good for you if you eat too many of them, especially the kind that are deep fried, which I prefer because I love French fries. No, but they do use part of the potato. And he did a lot of, trial and error, as most inventors do, trying to find the right materials that he could use that would actually work well as a piece of cutlery, but also disappear quickly in a landfill. So he's an industrial design student. These guys study ways to improve machines and equipment and devices. It's kind of an interesting field to study. And he sought to target, or to really focus his attention on, the fast food industry, which is a large consumer of plastic cutlery due to the material's convenience and strength. So, yeah, I love that Taiwan has really encouraged a lot of us to take our own, chopsticks and our own cutlery to different places when we go to eat so that we don't have to keep using plastic and throw it away. So I'm trying to do that. I don't always succeed, but he's come up with a great idea, which I hope will find its way to Taiwan.
Yep, indeed. So he's trying to replace plastic、mm-hmm. or kinds of plastic that are used to make single-use cutlery. And so these plastics are used only once, but then take centuries to break down. Again, we're talking about the plastics that are used to make single-use cutlery、mm-hmm. at convenience stores. I guess they have them too, but we're talking specifically about the fast food industry.
I wanted to mention something I read online about this.You actually use most of these plastic spoons, forks, knives for about 20 minutes, and then the time that they remain in the environment is 450 years.
Ooh.
So he was trying to find something that would break down a heck of a lot faster than that.
That does sound like a reasonable goal there.
Yeah.
Indeed, the plastic will take a long time to break down,
yeah.
which means to basically return to its elemental form and no longer be forks, knives, and spoons sitting in a landfill somewhere or、mm-hmm. sitting inside a whale's stomach or something like that. So with millions of them going to landfills and the ocean every day, their effect is devastating to the environment. So lots of these utensils are going to landfills, to incinerators, and to the ocean all the time. And because of that, their effect is devastating. Devastating here just means really, really bad. It causes a lot of damage. If you heard that your wife was leaving you and that your boss had fired you and your children are running away from home, you would be devastated, or that would be devastating news.
I want to bring up a common error that we see here in Taiwan among the English speakers.They'll often say, oh, I'm so exciting, instead of saying, I'm so excited. So this is the same thing. A person can't say, I'm so devastating. No, I'm so devastated. So be careful with that, guys. Otherwise, it's actually a funny error when people do it, because it's kind of fun to hear someone say, I'm so exciting.
Right. Or you could say, I'm so excited by you because you are so exciting.
Someone else can be exciting, but yourself, no, you're excited.
That's right. But in any case, you would be devastated if you got some bad news、
yeah.
like that. So moving on here, we're talking about Tornqvist. Again, he decided to look at the various forms that plant-based plastics could take.、
Mm-hmm.
So indeed, if you have plastics that are based on plants, well, they might take various forms, but he decided on using potato starch, or he settled on using potato starch. Here, the phrase to settle on something means that you accept this, you like this idea, you accept it, that's what you want to decide on.
Yeah, you've made a decision. What have you settled on? What have you decided? Yeah, but notice the difference. What have you decided doesn't require a preposition, but settle does. What have you settled on?So what have you decided? Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they mix this potato starch with water and they pour it into a mold. Mold is the shape that the final product will come out as. I also read it doesn't need extreme heat, so they can use plastic molds rather than metal molds. So that's good too. And the starch dries to a plastic-like consistency. So even though it is an organic material...It's not man-made like plastic. It actually looks a little bit like it's plastic. So that consistency is kind of what it feels like. You can also use consistency to talk about what something tastes like. Is it soft? Is it QQ? You guys love that QQ. Is it soft? Is it hard? Is it tough? But it has a plastic-like consistency. So it's similar to plastic, although it's really a potato.
You could substitute the word quality. It has a plastic-like quality or consistency. And after use, it can be thrown away and will decompose in soil within 2 months.、Mm. So decompose here just means to break down and return to its elemental forms in the soil so that it can be used to make something else. And that also sends nutrients back to the earth, nutrients like minerals and vitamins and things like that. And the unique properties or qualities of starch mean that this type of cutlery doesn't have to be made from potatoes alone. In other words, you don't just have to use potatoes. Any starchy material could work. So think of some other plant products that produce a lot of starch, and then you can make this cutlery. And we finish off by saying, though potato plastic began as a student project, Tornquist hopes to see it through and begin professional production soon. So yes, indeed, it was a student project, rather, but he wants to make it a reality and maybe even make a bunch of money on the side, but I'm sure his first concern is to help out the Earth. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson. Let's take a break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's time for us to continue with the second story today in our NewsWatch unit. We're going to South Africa now, away from Sweden, and we got some students there who are coding their way to a better future. So here we've got the word code as a verb, to code, but coding is the science of, I guess, writing computer language, so applications can use those programs to perform certain functions.
Yeah, I don't do any coding. I did take a Java class, and I had a Flash class when I was in New York. But if you're a coder, that's a big jump from doing Flash or even Java. So it's pretty tough stuff, but that's where everything's moving these days, is into computerized everything. We are seeing some South African students, though, that are getting the opportunity to learn how to code for free in these coding clubs, and that's what this particular news story is about. So it starts out by saying technology's influence on our lives means that having knowledge of it is necessary for a secure future. When you talk about your future being secure or your job being secure, it means you're not at risk of losing it. So that's a big deal, especially for kids that don't always have all of the educational opportunities that we do here in Taiwan. We have great schools in Taiwan, so everyone has a chance at least to get a good education if they work hard. That's not always the case in South Africa, and they're trying to help out. They're trying to change this, especially in the fields of math and science.
Well, this is the idea behind South Africa's coding clubs. That's what these coding clubs want to accomplish, to make sure that the kids there have secure futures. And though apartheid ended in the country 25 years ago, the quality of education in some regions has not yet caught up. As you know, South Africa was notorious for having apartheid. Okay, my dictionary here also says apartheid. Apartheid.
That one I've never heard of before, but yeah, it is in the dictionary, but I haven't heard it. I've only heard this on, you know, documentaries and news stories, but yeah.
Yeah, so let's just call it, that's a system of separation between white people and black people, basically, in South Africa.
And the D isn't pronounced, you're actually saying a T, apartheid.
Okay, okay, yeah. fair enough. So, yeah, maybe you should ask somebody from South Africa exactly how they say this word.
They have their own language, so it sounds different.
True, it could be Afrikaans, it could be Zulu or whatever, but in any case here,
Charlize Theron is South African.
Yes, she is. If you have opportunities to meet her, maybe you could ask her how this word is
just
pronounced.
Just go online. She's on YouTube. You can hear her speak Afrikaans.
She probably talks about it from time to time.
Very cool.
But in any case, this system of separation between the races ended 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But the quality of education in some parts of Africa has not yet caught up.
True.
There are people still behind in South Africa, probably mainly the black people, where the white people generally are doing quite well. Caught up here is the past tense of to catch up, which means you're at the same level as someone else, either in a race or economically speaking. And currently, South Africa lags behind other countries in math and science. They shouldn't feel so bad, though, because that's the state in the good old United States. My goodness, they lag behind lots of other countries in math and science. It's a national disgrace being such a powerful country, but being so poor in math and science. But indeed, to lag behind, that means you're just not caught up with those other countries.
Yeah, and like Tom says, we use that a lot when we're talking about some sort of competition or race. When I was a little girl, I remember saying to my brother and my cousin, they could run faster than me. I'd say, wait for me, I want to catch up. And they would always try to leave me behind. Anyway, yeah, lag behind. Lag. Yeah, and we often put the behind there, lags. Lag behind a lot. So they're trying to change that. There are some non-governmental organizations. These are probably NGOs or charitable organizations that have come together to try to change this. One of them is called Kojika.And another is called We Think Code. And both these groups want to close the gap between where they should be and where they currently are by providing free coding clubs for kids as young as elementary school students, which is really young. Although today, I know I was doing a substituting for a friend of mine years ago, andThe class had little elementary school students working on computers. And I thought, wow, life is so different than when I grew up. Mm. They were really fast and they're not afraid of technology. So it's kind of fun to see. So I think by starting that young, they're really going to help them catch up pretty quickly, hopefully.
Although I hope they don't get addicted to computer games and smartphones and stuff like that. That could cause problems of another kind.
That's not good either.
That's another subject. But in any case, yes, these are some NGOs called Kojika and We Think Code, and they aim, or they strive, or they want to close this gap by offering free coding clubs for elementary school students.
Yeah.
You get the picture here. So in these clubs, students use coding blocks, circuit boards, and other tools in order to solve real-life problems. So as Stephanie said here, of course, we didn't have this opportunity to study this kind of stuff when we were in school.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not really sure what a coding block is, what a circuit board is.
I know what a circuit board is, but that's part of the internal part of the CPU of the computer that we don't touch usually, Tom.
Okay.
You have to know what you're doing.
Right, but if you're studying this stuff, of course, you'll certainly learn. And you learn these things in order to solve real-life problems. So here's the phrase, in order to. That just means you do it for that reason. That's your purpose. That's your goal. That's what you're aiming to do. You want to solve problems in real life if you have this information. You could probably figure out how to build a dam to prevent flooding or how to build a bridge somewhere, or how to develop some kind of financial banking system using computers to help your depositors make lots of interest. It has all sorts of applications.
So I was just looking up Coding Block. It's a free kind of cross-platform IDE that supports multiple languages. So there are different languages, Visual C++.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. So there you go. It's providing them tools for them to solve real-life problems. I think that's a really important part of this. They're not just solving, you know, imaginary problems. They're real problems that make them feel like they're actually contributing to society. There are teams of students, so they've got the students put together in teams, and they've come up with devices. A device is a piece of equipment that's usually a little smaller, like incubators. If you've been to Well, the maternity ward, and you go to where the early, what do you call them, the preemie babies. The preemie babies are born before their due date, so they need a little help with their lungs and breathing, and they're tiny. We put them in little things called incubators to keep them warm and to monitor their heartbeat and their breathing, things like that. So they've come up with devices for these premature babies. And as I said, we have a nickname for them in America. We just call them preemies, P-R-E-M-I-E-S, preemies, premature babies, as well as tracking accessories to help find missing children. Isn't that wonderful? So a tracking device or an accessory is something a lot of people put on their dogs or their pets, you know, to keep track of where they are in case they get lost or wander off. It would show them on some sort of, maybe on their smartphone, they have an app that's connected to the tracking accessory that helps them find their pet. Well, here it would track missing children, which is even more valuable.
Right, so maybe that gets injected inside their body someplace, and if they're abducted by somebody, they can trace them before the criminals have a chance to remove those trackers. I'm sure they're probably looking for them, but in any case, these are accessories or, you know, extra parts that help with some function.
I would say with accessories, it's more something that you would wear or put on your body. Typically, we use accessories to talk about hats, jewelry, watches, things that make your outfit look better, more complete. Here, of course, there are things that are added to maybe their clothes.To keep track of them that way.
And I'm just hoping that, the criminals won't figure that out
and
remove those items. But in any case, yes, they are trying to find missing children with those accessories. And teachers hope these clubs can help students feel empowered and that the skills they gain can help them find employment in the future. So, yes, if you're a teacher, you want your kids in those clubs to feel empowered. In other words, they feel that the things they are learning are actually useful and not just things you need to know to pass a test. They are things that you could actually use to find a job in the future or help out humanity or something like that. And yes, they can help you find employment. They can help you find a job in the future. Now, the popularity of these clubs is also growing in other African countries as well, such as Kenya and Botswana. Okay, so of course, Africa is a huge continent and there are lots of countries there, of course, in Kenya. I believe they have a national park in Kenya that's actually larger than all of Taiwan. So, yes, Kenya is a huge country. I'm sure Botswana is very large as well. So, yes, indeed, imagine the potential there if you could get those kids to learn coding and come up with all these new ideas.
So the clubs themselves are very popular. They're also, they're so popular that they're reaching out to other countries now in Africa, which is awesome. And thanks to the unique opportunities these clubs provide, the next generation of technological innovators may be coming out of Africa and not just Asia. I think Asia these days is producing a lot of smart innovators, especially those who are always thinking about the future and have a great background in math and science. I'm with Tom. I think American schools have failed the students. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Anyway, we need to focus more on getting our kids educated, especially with a skill they can use when they graduate to get a job. You're not always going to get a job if you study political science or what are some of the other crazy majors sometimes we
like
use?
Like liberal arts and stuff like that, sociology or something, unless you want to be a professor or something.
Go on to get a PhD,
But nowadays, of course, there are way too many PhDs in the world. There's no way to get tenure anymore at a university.
It's hard, huh?
It's real hard, yeah. So, yeah, rethink things there. Maybe coding is the way to go. So, indeed, thanks to the unique opportunities these clubs provide, the next generation of technological innovators may be coming out of Africa. An innovator, of course, is someone who innovates or comes up with new and fresh ideas. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. It's time now to say goodbye. So let's do that right now. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully these news stories have given you some inspiration, and hopefully they've also improved your English. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.